goodness this morning. Thankful for the presence of everyone. We do desire an interest in your prayers, that God would bless and sanctify the word entrusted unto us this morning. I'd like you to turn with us to the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I'd like to begin reading, or would like to have read, verses 32 through verse 36. Hebrews 10, verse 32 through 36. Yes.
Former days.
Mm-hmm.
In which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions.
Amen.
Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used.
Amen.
For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
Amen. I'm going to focus mainly on the 35th verse, although I'd like to consider the truths that are in the other verses that we read. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense and reward. Yes. Now, that is a very strong exhortation, and it is in the mode of a command to us,
yes,
meaning that our very spiritual life depends upon our obeying the scripture.
Yes.
It's a challenge. And as all of the word of God, as Paul said, is profitable, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness.
Yes.
All scripture is inspired of God.
Yes.
Every last one of God's written words that he inspired, they are inspired to work something very definite in every soul.
Yes.
When God anoints his word, there is something very definite that he's addressing to our hearts personally.
True.
Of course, we are to take it personally. If we receive it at all, we're going to have to take it personal.
Yeah.
We're going to have to recognize that God is talking to us.
Yes.
Regardless of who the vessel is or whose voice it is, it's God's word. And when he inspires it to be brought forth, then we know there is something of eternal moment that we need to consider. All of it is inspired of God. All of it has a definite intent. It is to admonish. Then at the same time, it's to encourage, inspire, and give us hope.
Yeah.
And so as God's word is given to us in whatever manner God sees fit to do so, whether he speaks personally to your heart in a devotion or just speaks to you seemingly out of the blue to you, but God has a time and a purpose for everything.
Yes.
And so as God speaks his word, he's either addressing something that exists in your life today or something that in the very near future is going to have a great impact on you.
Yes.
And so as we think of God's word, we recognize, again, he has a very definite intent in mind. And by his grace, as we align our hearts and minds in oneness with him and allow God's intention to be performed in our life, then it will be a blessing beyond our comprehension. What portion we receive today is only part one. In thy light shall we see light. as God continues to deal with our heart, as he continues to open up our understanding and enlighten us as to what his perfect will is for us, he will reveal other things to us, not only regarding that scripture, but other things that God will bring to your heart in relationship to the message of truth that he's bringing your way.
Yes.
Now, I'd like for us to start at the 32nd verse. I want us to consider some of the things that the Lord felt like we needed to know very urgently. Verse 32, it tells us to call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. Every one of us remember how it was before the illumination. You knew what your life consisted of before God spiritually enlightened you with salvation and sanctification. You know what that was. It's a very great contrast in your life from what it was before and what it is now. Not only as we go along in our experience and God continues to reveal things unto us, there are certain changes and adjustments that he expects us to make according to his word. Because we're not going to have all knowledge of everything at one time. However, as God reveals himself to us, and he tells us in a consistent way what he's desiring of us, God will give us grace and understanding, and he'll give us utterance, not only to receive it, but to put it into action. And so we thank God for that mercy to us. There's no way we could comprehend the full essence of what God is endeavoring to say to us all at the same time. Because we have limitations, mental limitations, and spiritually there are some limitations that we have. So at the time that God reveals and opens it up to us, there are other experiences that we're going to have that's going to make it a lot more plainer. And so we thank God for his gracious dealings with us. Before you were illuminated, before you had a knowledge of the truth, before the Lord lifted you up and out of a horrible pit, before God caused you to realize that there was a great change he had in view for you in your life, that the way you handled the afflictions of life before you were illuminated and the way you handle them now are as far as the east is from the west. When you were afflicted, see, the scripture says the same afflictions are accomplishing your brethren that are in the world. So whether you're saved or unsaved, we are going to have afflictions. We're going to have difficulties. We are going to have troubles and adversities. The way we handled them at first was like a man, unregenerated man, would handle them. When we didn't murmur and complain, we were plagued by doubts and fears and unbelief. And even after we're saved, the devil still tries to give us a fight of our life when the Lord has told us something differently. And then the enemy comes along and he endeavors to undo what God has done. And so God bless us and help us to realize the enemy is a relentless foe. He never takes no for an answer. The Lord may give him such a strong rebuke that he has to go somewhere and nurse his wounds and recover, but he'll be right back. But it will not be oftentimes with the same intensity as it came before, because God has given you some authority that when you rebuke the devil, he has to obey.
Right.
He has to hear. He has to respond.
Right.
So God bless us and encourage us along the way that we not fear, that we not doubt, but that we would truly believe.
Yes.
If we do not believe the word of God, that takes nothing away from its authority. It does not take you and I to believe it for it to be true. But it'll never work. The divine miracles that God wants to work in your life unless you do believe it.
Amen.
That's why the devil fights you so hard to draw back against what God has told you to do. So may God bless us and encourage us. We all have a place in God that the Lord wants us to be right now. Right now, right this very moment. There's a spiritual place God wants us to be.
That's true.
And we have to strive to enter in at that place. It's a door of utterance. God will open it up to us. And as long as we keep an up-to-date experience with him and stay consistent with him, we'll be there. If we are not there, then we don't get our blessing, and the people of the lives that we touch, they don't get their blessing either. God will have to choose another avenue. But we don't want to fail God in any way. We want to be right where the Lord wants us to be, with the measure of grace that he wants us to have, with the measure of spiritual comprehension and understanding and knowledge and revelation that he wants us to have. Why, we cannot afford to lay aside any of God's word. I believe it's Hebrews, the second chapter. Maybe the first and second verse. Says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we let them sleep.
Yes.
Slip. The word spoken.
By angels
is steadfast. That means, Ed, you can't move it.
Amen.
You may not appreciate it. It may not sit well with you. But if the word spoken by angels, the angels, the ministering angels in heaven, and ministering servants that God is using to speak out the word of God, if it was steadfast, and every disobedience received a just recompense or reward just from what an angel said, God help us.
Yes.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
Amen.
God help us. Let us not neglect to give credence.
Yes.
To give as the song said, some kind of heed. We are sowing every moment. It's in the diligent heed. That's what I'm trying to say. God help us to give diligent heed.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the Lord is endeavoring to speak to our hearts.
Amen.
So we know the difference. We know the difference. We understood when God did something in our heart, especially after he sanctified us, when we abandoned ourselves to him.
Yes.
And said, Lord, make of me what you have me to be.
Yes.
We know the difference. We know that God gave us power to bridle our tongue.
That's right.
During some of those same types of afflictions. Gave us power over our temper.
Yes.
Over our indignant emotions.
Yes.
God help us. God gave us power over them. And so we realize that God gave us power to deny ourselves in a way that we did not have ability in times past. We recognize the change. It wasn't just a feeling. It was a reality that when we faced some of the same kind of problems, dealt with the same kind of people, God gave us grace that we had not had prior to that time. And so, thank God for the definite positive changes that God makes in our lives from time to time. Experience worketh hope. And hope makes us not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We thank the Lord for that. He's a teacher. He's a comforter. And he's a guide. All right. Going a little more. Spiritually enlightened. Thank God. You see, we read these scriptures, and oftentimes we don't realize the power and the impact and the substance that are in them. They overcame how? Not by acting ugly.
No.
Not by threatening.
That's true.
They overcame because they had confidence in the power of the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
They had confidence in it. Confidence, folks, and assurance. They were persuaded of its truth. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
And the word of their testimony.
Yes.
They had to do some confessing to God's truth too.
That's right.
They had to tell what he's done for them.
That's
from
right.
Time to time, as God gave them divine utterance. God gave them wisdom and understanding to know when to say and what to say. And he backed it up. So that's how God's people overcome. Because they have confidence in the blood of Jesus, which can wash away your sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Power in the blood to save the sin. power in his blood to save us from sin and to save us from ourselves. To cleanse our mind, to keep our mind under the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
So that the thoughts that we have are subject to him.
That's right.
And we have to seek the Lord daily. Lord, give me your mind, Father. Give me your mind. Sometimes the situation is new. Sometimes it's an old situation that you have to deal with time and time again. Lord, give me your mind. I have thoughts in my mind. I know how we dealt with it last time. But Lord, I need your mind. God is not going to cause everything in our life to happen in the very same pattern every time. You see, our life and our walk with him is one of escalating obedience. God help us. Sometimes we think we know exactly how God's going to do it. And then God said, no, that's not the way. That's not the way I plan on doing that. I have something in mind, and you need to tap into my mind. And you need to see to it that your will and your desires are always subject and submitted to what I want to do and how I want to do it and when I want to do it.
Amen.
God help us. Not always easy if you think you've had some experiences that detail how it's supposed to be now. God help us. This is a daily walk with God. His principles and his righteousness does not change, but he has a way of applying and executing what he wants done. And he doesn't have to tell me one little thing. He doesn't have to tell me how he's going to do it or when he's going to do it. I just have to have confidence in him. I just cannot ever cast away my confidence. I can never, ever have confidence in myself and think I'm going to advance in the things of God. I cannot have it. I can't have it. I can't put my full confidence in any man. I may have the greatest of confidence in them and love them dearly, but he said not to have any confidence in the flesh, not to have the kind of confidence in people that will override your confidence in him. Amen. We all endeavor by God's grace to align ourselves with God's will in all things.
Yes.
But God help us. We still need the Lord to make it plain to us and make it certain to us and give us what we need and give us a witness in our spirit.
Yes.
That we're always, always aligned with him in all things. All right. Reading on a little bit more. Call to remembrance of former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. We know the history of the church. We know somewhat of it. We know after the crucifixion of Christ, we know the persecution that came against the people of God. We know about Stephen being the first martyr. We know about Herod's persecution, how he killed James and thought he was going to take the life of Peter, but God miraculously intervened in that. We know about Herod's and many of the Caesars. We know about many of their persecution to the saints of God. They endured it. They went through it. They didn't go back on God. They didn't bow down. They didn't bend. They weren't swayed. They did not waver. Because they held fast to their confidence.
Yes.
Now, the scripture says don't cast it away. That means there could come times in your experience
yes.
where the pressure is so great
yes.
and the enemy presses so hard
yes.
that the temptation is there.
That's true.
The temptation is there. In all the fights prior to this time, you've shown yourself to be a brave and courageous warrior. Something happened.
Yeah.
And you ran from the battle.
Yeah.
Let's read on a little bit more. God help us not to backslide on the Lord.
Yes.
You don't need to go back on God. You don't ever know whether you're going to be asked to come back. We heard this morning that the Lord has to do the drawing.
That's right.
He has to do the drawing. It's not of the will of man or the will of the flesh, but it's of God's will. God help us. Doesn't that strike a chord of fear in your heart?
Yes.
It is intended to. God help us. Let us not turn back. Let us not look around to the right or to the left. God's talking to you. He's not talking to that person and that person. He may be talking to them, but whatever he's telling them doesn't have anything to do with you. Listen intently to what God is talking to you. Don't compare your experience and what happened with someone else. God help us. God has something especially for you and for me, for every one of us. He has something for those that were not able to be here this morning. Some have a legitimate reason for not being here. Some do not. But God has something for them. Not just this morning. I don't want you to look at me like I have something so great and above and beyond. That's not true. Every time God speaks, it's great and beyond whatever man can do. So God help us. All right, let's read on a little bit more. 33rd verse. Partly while ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye became companions, that them were so used. Nobody likes to be a gazing stock. Nobody likes to be a spectacle. And you know, you actually can feel people's eyes on you. You know that, don't you? You can feel people's eyes on you. And if you're not in their vision, you can still feel their eyes on you sometimes. God help us. Not a comfortable feeling, is it? But the scripture says that's what happened. This is while they were going through great reproaches and afflictions. The people looked upon them like they were, what I want to say, not just plain deformed, grotesquely deformed. That's how people look on the people of God, like they are grotesquely deformed. Something so wrong with that person that they almost wish them to be put away somewhere so that their life won't remind them that they're rank sinners.
That's right.
Or that they're hypocrites.
Yeah.
God help us.
Lord, help us.
Don't want to be reminded. Don't want you to stir up something in me that'll cause me to be sensitive toward the wooing spirit of God. God help us. All right. I don't know how you do when you're a gazing stock. But whether you know it or not, you're on one right now. If you name the name of Christ, you're one right now. Wherever you go. Just for people to know that you exist and to know the standard of life that you live, it's goading. That's why they killed Stephen.
Yes.
That's why they killed all of the disciples. All of them, or mostly all of them, died in a place far away from Jerusalem. Doubting Thomas in India. I can't think of all of them, but there were so many. They went out and they discipled people that were in tune with the will of God.
Yes.
And most of them met up with those that did not only didn't care to hear it. Some of them took their lives feeling like they were doing service to their gods. God have mercy. Partly while she were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while she became companions of them that were so used. You know what? Someone said this scripture this morning. I believe in the prayer request, when one member suffers, we all suffer.
Yes, that's true.
You may not understand why they're going through what they're going through. Don't try to figure it out. They can't figure it out either. And God doesn't intend for us. He's not going to give us special points because we felt like we figure out why the Lord's doing this. God help us. Whatever God's purpose and reason is to bless your soul, but mostly to glorify Him. Because that's what it's really all about. God help us. I'm thinking, Lord help us. Second Corinthians 4 chapter. We know what the first few verses said, but it tells us that we're always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies.
Yes.
Always, always. That's what a saint is doing. Always. Always dying. When Paul said he died daily, he meant it. But he said always in this scripture. Always dying to myself. Always dying to my feelings. Always dying to my thoughts and my ways. Always. It's a something that's reverberating in my heart and mind all the time. That if I please God, if I'm of a worth to Him, I'm going to have to always. It has to operate in my life on a daily, daily, daily form. God help us. Always dying.
Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body.
And the next verse says,
"For we which
live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake.
That the life also of Jesus
yes.
might
So then,
death works
in us,
but life in you.
Life works in you.
Thank the Lord.
Not only to the unsaved, but to God's people. That's how we're edified. Because somebody is allowing the life of Jesus to work in their life, and very especially his death.
Amen.
Always dying, always. More like you, Lord. That's what I'm endeavoring to do.
Yes.
That's what I'm endeavoring to be, Lord. More like you. And as long as I'm in this earthen vessel, I'm going to have to do some dying. Always dying.
That's right.
Because my first thoughts and my first reactions are not always what God would do. So why don't you just tune in to Him now? Make certain that you always have the dial set in on Jesus, on His life. Make it always there. See that nothing interrupts. What do you call that? The reception. See that nothing interrupts the reception.
Yes.
Where you can always know. I acknowledge to you that I don't always know. But I don't always make the right decision in my mind. But before, most of the time, most of the saints, before we actually execute something, we get a little feeling here that, you know, something not quite
right
here. And so you really get in earnest, Lord. Please help me.
Yes.
I don't want to be out of your order, Father.
Right.
I have it in my mind this is the way it should be done, but oh God, I need you to help
That's
me
right.
here. I want to do it exactly the way you want me to do it, as perfect as I can do
That's
it.
That's right.
And then you're so glad. You're so glad that you were tuned in.
That's right.
And then you purpose in your heart to be more diligent about being tuned in. We have so many earthly thoughts. We have so many earthly cares. And they're legitimate cares, but we're not to meditate on them. We're to take them to the Lord in
That's
prayer.
Right.
We feel like we're obligated to meditate on them and get some kind of plan of action. You know, it's just going to be 2 weeks. I have something in mind. No, you don't. What you need to do is to get in contact with the Lord.
Yeah.
And be willing to die.
That's right.
God help us. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death working in us. Paul said, in us. He's talking to the people of God.
Yes.
Death works in us. We're always dying. But then life works.
Yes.
That's the story of the resurrected life.
That's right.
That's the story of it. That's what it does. That's what it provides for the world and for the lives that it touches. God help us. God help us to live that resurrected life. God help us to do it.
Yes.
Don't be so sure. Don't be so sure that you don't make certain that it's truly aligned with the will of God.
Yes.
How does that life work? How does it work? God help us. Jesus said, just preaching in John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. You know the song, lift him up, lift the precious Savior up. Still he speaks from eternity. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, talked about drawing men, will draw all men unto me. Do you not know the convicting Spirit of God works right along, the same Holy Ghost now, with our ability to die and lift him up because he's the one that does the drawing. That's why we say so specifically that your trials and tests are not about you. They're about Jesus. They're about lifting him up. Quit taking it so personal. Quit thinking so much what they're doing to you. They're doing it to the Jesus in you.
That's right.
That's the target.
They're
trying to squeeze him out of your life. They're trying to get you to leak him out of your life. He's trying to do the very best to dampen the zeal that you have living for God.
Yes.
If I be lifted up, I'll do the drawing. Your unsaved loved ones that you're praying for. The lost world from one end of the earth to the other. If you lift me up, if you die and go through your trials and tests like I did, I'll do a work.
Yes, Lord, help us.
What is the problem, folks? We're not dying.
Yes.
Oh, God, help us.
We're not dying.
Yes.
That's true.
One writer, I can't remember the exact article, he said everybody ought to have their own funeral.
Yep.
Ought to have our own funeral. You had your funeral? God help us. Have I had mine?
Lord, help
God help us. I hope this is making sense to you.
Yes,
God help us. If I be lifted up, if you lift me up through your trials and tests, and people see me rather than you,
yes,
then I'll work a miraculous drawing. I'll draw them with cords of my divine love. That's where the power is. When we lift him up,
yes,
and they
Lord
see a crucified Christ, then they can get the experience of a resurrected life. That's right. It takes the dying first. That dying to our own self. That's what God is doing while we're dying daily. Resurrecting some of himself in us.
That's
he
right.
made us pure and holy and innocent. He's bringing out what he intended for man to be like before the sin of Adam. God help us. That first man, Adam, did a lot of damage, but that second man, Adam, brought about power to restore us to the place that God had Adam and Eve in before they sinned in the garden. Oh, God, help us. You want to go there? God, help us. Help us to go there. You understand, I'm not accusing anybody of not dying like they should. I am challenging you
yes.
by God's grace.
Amen.
I am warning, giving you encouragement
yes.
that the devil will try to defeat you along that very line. And if he can make you and I ineffectual to where God can't draw like he desires, that's as good as he wants it. Hold fast the profession of your faith. All right, let's go on a little bit more. When members suffer, they all suffer. You know, sometimes, I know God's people are compassionate people, but sometimes we need to ask God for more compassion. Sometimes we need to ask him. Sometimes we can't relate to somebody else's trials. Just like Paul's friends, they couldn't relate to his trial. They thought we need to go and fix it up. We need to tell him what's wrong with him so he can, you know, so God can bless him like God wants to bless him. Nobody doing right by God is going to have to go through something like this. What you don't know and what I don't know could fill volumes of books. The Library of Congress couldn't hold it all. What we don't know. What we do know and what we execute and put into action, that's what we're responsible for.
That's right. Lord, help us.
God, help us.
That's true.
Oh, God, bless us and encourage us to live what we know.
That's right.
God is witness to our heart, what we know. Yeah. All right. Let's go on a little bit more. 34, for ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Knowing this, it has to be something we know. You had compassion. You had compassion on my bonds. You suffered right along there with me. I know you did. I could discern it. I could feel it. I knew I was supported by my people. I knew it. God help us. It was as if I was in the same affliction. Paul, it was just like, I want you to know, it was just like I was there in that prison. That's how I felt. It was just like I took the lashes. Yes, Paul, that's how I felt.
Yes.
So that's what it means to suffer.
That's right.
Suffer with the Savior. That's what it means.
Yes.
It's like I was on that cross. Just like that. God help us. Let's see, what do I want to say? We can be so detached. We can be so detached.
Yes.
So may God encourage us.
Please, Lord.
Lord bless. Pray for me. All right. You have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Something that will outlast time. It'll outlast time.
Yes,
it'll run parallel with eternity. That's what you have. That's what you have. That's the treasure you have in you. It'll outlast time. If you don't cast away your confidence.
Yes.
Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. There are probably no words, earthly words, that they could put down that we would comprehend as to the great recompense. A requital, requiting, that the Lord give you back for a loss. A loss that you experience. You lost most of your friends. You lost the confidence in most of your family. You lost that promotion. That's part of our dying.
Help us, Lord.
You're not seen in the same light as you were when you were out in the world with them, or you just had a religious profession. They don't see you the same. Definitely don't see you the same. And something rises up in them to persecute. Because if they don't, then they're going to have to meditate on the truth about themselves. And God forbid. They'll do whatever they can to distract from feeling the very essence of the Spirit of God talking to their hearts. That's what people are fighting when they persecute God's people. Don't let me get along with my thoughts. Don't let me get along with them. I can't deal with them. I'm not ready to be honest about this. Let me go on in my little world. Later, Lord, later. There's too much happening in my life. I can't deal with it all. There's my companion and my children and my grandchildren. Lord, how can I deal with it all? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You're out in the world, and don't you know why you're not saved? You can start asking God, Lord, have mercy on me. My life is a wreck. It's a confusion. It is a constant discord. I pray you have mercy on me. Don't you know God will hear that prayer? And it will definitely be in accord with the prayers that are being prayed for you.
Amen.
Cast not away your confidence. Don't cast your confidence away. That enduring substance that I have never seen, ears never heard, never entered into the heart of a mortal man. The things that God has prepared for them that love him. It's enduring. It'll stand. It'll hold you steady. Another verse. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. That's Romans 8th chapter, isn't it? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. They're not even worthy. Don't even try to bring them beside this enduring substance we're talking about. Was someone getting ready to read?
I thought you were wanting 4 in 17, but maybe that's not
the one. I beg your pardon?
I was thinking of you were wanting 4 in 17, but maybe that's not the one. You spoke of the light affliction.
Oh, yes. That's
for us a far more exceeding and eternal way of glory.
Yes, that's a good one. I was thinking about Romans 8 chapter, and I have on here the 18th verse.
18.
Yes.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy,
To be compared
with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Praise God.
Not worthy. You know, sometimes we are tempted to even compare our afflictions with somebody else's afflictions. How you bear your afflictions for whatever those circumstances involve and how somebody else bears them may be two different ways. The thing that touches them to the quick may not be the same thing that touches you to the quick. But you can rest assured the magnitude of the suffering is such that God will honor them if they die daily. He'll honor them with his presence. He'll honor them with his grace.
Yes.
He'll give them strength and fortitude. He'll give them a divine resolve, a steadfastness, a perseverance to go all the way through and endure until the end. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. All right, now, I'm going to read another scripture, probably one more that I think relates to this. 11th chapter of Hebrews. Let's turn there in the 26th verse. This is talking about somebody that lived before Paul was even thought of by man anyway. God had him in his mind. Talking about Moses esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. 25th. Let's see. 11.
46.
Listen, he esteemed the reproaches of Christ. Did he know Jesus? I know Jesus saw him in the mountain of transfiguration. He may not have known him to speak to him personally, but he knew the spirit of Christ. He suffered in the spirit of Christ, just like every other saint in the Old Testament.
24. By faith Moses,
yes,
when he was come to years,
amen,
refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter,
yes,
choosing rather to suffer affliction,
yes,
with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Amen.
Esteeming the reproach of Christ,
yes,
more riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
Recompense. He had respect. Now, just one more thought. Moses did that.
Yes.
Cast not away your confidence. It said that Spartan women, before their young sons, their sons would go out to battle, they would present to them their shields that they were to take. Sometimes it was their father's shield. They fought in the battle. But he brought that shield back. He fought and fought hard. They would give it to them. And let me see if I can. I don't think I can quote it all, though I don't want to put it in my words. They said, either bring this back or be brought back on it. Bring this shield. What is our confidence? It is a shield, isn't it?
Shield.
Faith. Yes, shield of faith. You take this with you. When the battle gets hot, you hold that shield, and it'll quench every fiery dart of the enemy, every last one. Someone talked to me about the Spartans and how they had a phalanx, and they would all stand close together, and they presented an impenetrable shield against the enemy. As long as everybody stayed in their place, the enemy couldn't penetrate. But as soon as one did, then it was like a domino effect. If you show fear, the devil sniffs it right away. God help us now. We need to conquer doubts, fears, and unbelief.
Yes.
They plague us, true enough, but we can stand for God. And we can have it in our heart and our mind that there is such a strong rebuke in our heart against it that the devil can spend very little time trying to taunt you. Amen. God help us. Appreciate your prayers. Pray for me.